come with one or two elections.
An early morning fire in Brooklyn, New York has claimed the life of a 7-year-old boy. With more, here's correspondent Julie Walker.
Police say 7-year-old Joel Smith died when fire broke out in his Brooklyn apartment building. The fire department says EMS tried to revive the boy at the scene. 7 other people were injured, including one person with burns to his hands and face.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to irnusanews.com.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties. Take your adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate and reduce your mortgage payment to as low as 2%. Call the National Mortgage Helpline at 800-242-1865. Again, that's 800-242-1865.
Anaheim Police Sergeant Robert Dunn says they feel certain that they've got the killer of 4 homeless men.
We know, we're very confident, that one person committed these crimes and that person is in custody.
The suspect was arrested after witnesses chased someone whom they claimed stabbed a homeless man.
The pursuing citizens lost sight of the suspect but were able to provide information as to the last known location. We were able to stop a subject who ended up being the suspect and is now in jail.
Texas Governor Rick Perry, who's running for president, says his campaign can make a huge statement in South Carolina.
I'm asking the people of South Carolina to give my campaign a second chance so we can create that rebirth of freedom in America. You know, don't let the pundits tell you that they know who's going to be the next nominee for the Republican Party.
A homeless teenager on New York's Long Island has made the semifinals in the National Science Competition, and in the process, she's gotten her family into a new house. With more on this story, here's correspondent Warren Levinson.
Samantha Garvey says she is living proof of the value of hard work. She and her parents had to move into a homeless shelter 2 weeks ago. Then she was named a semifinalist in the Intel Science Competition, and Suffolk County officials got the family a rent-subsidized home.
This is a roof over our heads. This is somewhere to go home to at night. This is everything. This is anything that anyone could ever ask for.
Garvey is senior at Brentwood High School, about 60 miles east of New York City.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million-bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus 2 free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. As many of you know, Animals Today explores the place animals have in our society and around the world from a perspective of compassion and respect. We discuss the challenges animals face from habitat loss, neglect, and cruelty. We meet the people who help and fight for our animal friends, and we learn who the animals' enemies are. And of course, we strive to teach people of all ages not only to nurture their compassion for all living creatures we share the world with, but what they can do to make a difference. And if you care about dogs and cats and you want to make a difference in their lives, I think you're going to really enjoy today's show. Later in the hour, Peter's going to be speaking with Allie Phillips. Her new book is entitled Defending the Defenseless, A Guide to Protecting and Advocating for Pets. But first, I would like to introduce Jennifer Wallace. I recently learned about her article entitled Why Some Southern Dogs Are Heading North, The Practical Effects of Animal Population Control Legislation. This was published a few years ago in the American Bar Association Animal Law Committee newsletter. We're going to explore why some shelters in our country are forced to euthanize so many dogs and cats, while others do not have to contend with big pet overpopulation issues. Jennifer is an attorney and owner of Wallace Law Firm in Birmingham, Alabama. She adopted a vegan diet 3 years ago and is a member of the Shelby Humane Society's Board of Directors. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thanks for being here. Jennifer, let's start with your article in which you contrast the situations in New Hampshire and Alabama. Summarize your article for us, please.
Absolutely. Well, I was inspired to write the article when I did my first shelter partners trip back in the summer of 2007, and it was just such a marked difference between picking up a vanload of dogs from Shelby Humane Society's at capacity shelter and driving 35 dogs up north to New Hampshire, where they were all adopted within a week. And wanting to learn more about why there's such a marked difference in the animal overpopulation in our two states. And what I learned was New Hampshire has comprehensive animal population control legislation, whereas Alabama does not.
And tell us about the differences there.
The difference is there that New Hampshire actually has a legislatively enacted comprehensive animal population control program where New Hampshire residents must pay a license fee to own a dog or cat, and for dogs, the license fee is more per year if they are not spayed or neutered. New Hampshire also has widely known and enforced leash laws where they don't allow dogs to roam off-leash away from their owners. And with the money that they use for the annual licensing fee to actually own a dog, they subsidize low-cost spay and neuter surgeries for their residents. So their animal shelters just don't have the overpopulation issues that Alabama, which is lacking legislation like that, has.
And it obviously really makes a difference because you mentioned just a minute ago that your first drive when you took all these dogs from Alabama to New Hampshire, from Alabama to New Hampshire, the dogs got adopted within a week, which is absolutely amazing. How big a problem is pet overpopulation in Alabama?
Pet overpopulation is a huge issue in Alabama. I'm on, as you stated, I'm on the board of directors of Shelby Humane Society, and our shelter alone last year, our shelter is in the fastest growing county in Alabama, Shelby County, and last year alone, we cared for approximately 5,000 animals. That number is down from 2008, where we cared for almost 8,000 animals, and that's just one county alone in Alabama.
Wow. Wow. And tell us now about Shelter Partners Trips.
Shelter Partners Trips is an innovative program put in place in 2007 by our then executive director at Shelby Humane Society. And the executive director at that point recognized that New Hampshire did not have the overpopulation issues that Alabama does and made relationships with certain shelters in the Northeast, New Hampshire. We've added Maine also, Maine shelters as well, and wherein we literally transport, it's volunteer-driven, literally, the volunteer drivers load up a van of 35 dogs from our shelter, drive a 24-hour one-way drive all the way up to New Hampshire, transport the dogs to their empty shelters, where the dogs are adopted within a week and then come back. And we do it as many times as we can possibly get the funding for it, find the partner shelters, and find the volunteer drivers.
It's amazing, Jennifer, that these the legal elements of the program of New Hampshire that you described, controlling the pet overpopulation program, really has an effect on it, and that you know, the in Alabama, your shelters, you must be euthanizing at a rate of, what, 80-90%, and then you take these 35 dogs over to New Hampshire, and they're adopting out within a week. I mean, are their shelters empty? Are they not euthanizing at all over there?
Well, the very first trip that I made, and I write about this in my article, there was one dog in the shelter. And when I spoke to the shelter's executive director, she explained that that dog was left over from the last Alabama trip, and it needed additional medical care. It had already been adopted, but it needed additional medical care at the shelter before they would release it to its new owners. And at that time, and the program was still new, when we arrived there, they had a stack of applications about 100 deep of people wanting to adopt animals from an empty shelter.
Wow. Now, has the program in New Hampshire been cost-effective? Has it cost the state of New Hampshire, or is it a net savings in terms of the cost to maintain shelters, pay for animal control services, and the cost related to euthanizing the animals?
It's amazing. They've discovered that in New Hampshire, they've estimated that their comprehensive animal overpopulation legislation has saved taxpayers about $3.23 for every dollar the state spent on subsidizing the sterilization program. So it's a savings for the state.
Wow. And would you repeat, because you mentioned this before, I want my listeners to hear again, the 1994 New Hampshire Animal Population Control Program and the main legal elements of the program that's so effective in controlling overpopulation. And also, Jennifer, talk about, if you know, the situation, like what was it like in the shelters of New Hampshire before the 1994 Animal Population Control Program?
Right. And the elements of the New Hampshire legislation that were so effective are the annual dog license fee. And at the time that I wrote the article in 2008, that was $4.50 for spayed and neutered dogs and $7 for unneutered and unspayed dogs. And the fees went to subsidize low-cost spay and neuter programs for those that couldn't otherwise afford it, as well as the element of leash laws and not allowing dogs to roam at large. And it just, the situation before the legislation was enacted, and I am not the best person to speak on that. It would be someone from New Hampshire, but in speaking to the executive directors up there, I understand that their situation in New Hampshire was very similar to what we're experiencing in Alabama. And I understand that it was a big fight to get this legislation pushed through. And once it was pushed through, they initially had a bit of an uptake of people who didn't want to pay the annual license fee, didn't feel they should have. And once they made it through that, you can visit a shelter in New Hampshire and see the practical effects that it's had today.
Jennifer, we've only talked about dogs. What's the situation like for cats in both New Hampshire and in Alabama?
The cat overpopulation issue seems to be universal. The shelters up there also have at-capacity cats, and it's just, I think that the public conception as to cats being able to roam at large, and obviously the leash laws don't apply to cats, those leash laws do apply to dogs. It just creates a different environment for the cat.
So in both states, it's really it's not a great situation for cats.
It's not a great situation for cats. We unfortunately do not have anywhere to transport out the cats in our shelter. It's a universal problem.
Yeah. Jennifer, we only have a few seconds left. Do you know of any other states that have similar comprehensive statewide laws?
New Hampshire is really the gold standard. Any state that is looking to positively affect their animal overpopulation control issue should really look to New Hampshire as the gold standard of a comprehensive example of this legislation and the positive effects that it can have.
Great. Jennifer Wallace, we're speaking with. She's with the Shelby Humane Society. This is really so informative. Stay with us. You're listening to Animals Today.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eglin's Best. In the world of eggs, Eglin's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eglin's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eglin's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eglin's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eglin's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eglin's Best. Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Jennifer Wallace, and we're talking about animal control legislation, talking about companion animals. Jennifer, is there any interest in the Alabama legislature in introducing a bill?
As far as I know, there has been no bill passed, however, or no bill proposed or even being thinking of being brought up. Since my article in 2008, however, we have implemented the spay-neuter license plates, which I touch on in the article, And we actually did get the requisite number of pre-orders. I have one on my car. They're very cute, and it subsidizes low-cost spay and neuter surgeries for low-income people in the state to apply for and get.
Mm. Do you see anything fundamentally different about the people or attitudes in Alabama that would prevent a New Hampshire-style program from being successful?
I do to some extent, and I think that it's just going to take time for people to understand what needs to be done and accept it. When I came back from my first Shelter Partners trip and I did the research and I wrote the article and I talked to people about it, I thought that it would be a no-brainer that everyone would be on board of, we need to propose this legislation for Alabama. This is a given. It has to happen. And in talking to well-educated people that I wouldn't expect to have this viewpoint, there was some pushback of, well, I pay enough licenses anyway. I shouldn't have to pay an annual license to own my dog. And that was surprising to me. And I think that it just takes understanding what a terrible, terrible problem we have. And it's not exclusive to Alabama. There's numerous other states in the nation that have it. But just education is the key.
Right, right. Jennifer, we're going to discuss a different element of your life, and that is the strange situation of being vegan in Alabama. Now, you are not always a vegan. How long have you been vegan, and what was your motivation?
September 1st marked 3 years for me, and obviously I'm very, very interested and passionate about animal welfare issues, and at some point, I realized that there was a disconnect between being passionate about animal welfare issues and eating animals. It happens often out there that you talk to people who are active in animal welfare issues, and they're not vegetarian and they're not vegan. And it was something that I had been thinking about for a long time. I felt that it was something that I needed to do to become vegetarian. And so I began researching the issues and reading books and learned in my research of becoming vegetarian, I wanted to be able to support my arguments as to why I was doing it, know how to do it healthy, that the reasons that I wanted to become a vegetarian really pointed me more towards being vegan also, because the cruelty issues and the animal welfare issues are just as terrible in the dairy industry and the egg industry as it is in the meat industry.
Absolutely. Am I correct to assume that veganism is not all that common in Alabama? And, Jennifer, how do your fellow Alabamians react when they learn you are vegan? Do they understand this at all?
It's been interesting. I didn't know, and I'm not saying that I'm the only vegan in Alabama. I know that's not the case now because I have three more people who have decided to become vegan since. I did not know of any other vegans in Alabama. And so when I set out on the research, I was really doing it whole cloth for myself, for my own personal reasons. And the reaction that I get from fellow Alabamians, it's always interest and curiosity as to my reasons why I became a vegan. And more times than not, it's respect, because I choose to bring my viewpoint from a place of love and compassion and no judgment. And typically, after I have the conversation of the reasons why, animal welfare issues, and how it is my truth of living, I'm living the closest to my truth being a vegan, they're typically very respectful. There are those outliers, and I have run into the confrontational meat eaters, and they're not exclusively in Alabama, that take some sort of personal attack or affront from me being vegan.
Well, I would guess that 3 years ago you were probably the only vegan in all of Alabama. Jennifer, what do you find are the biggest misconceptions about vegans?
The biggest misconception, number one, is that it's unhealthy. It's amazing how effective the brainwashing campaigns of the Got Milk ad campaigns and everything has had on society. Number one, people think it's unhealthy when, as the China study has shown and Dean Ornish's health study has shown, it's the opposite. A vegan diet is the most healthy diet you can adopt. Secondly, people ask, what do I eat? They assume that I have a limited diet, when in reality my diet has expanded since I became vegan, because I was introduced to all these great new foods and preparing them for myself, of quinoa and farro and amazing fruits and vegetables, and my diet expanded dramatically from these fantastic healthy vegan recipes and actually reaching out to see what I was eating and make sure I was doing it in a healthy manner. And the third would, especially I think in the South, would be the stereotype of the vegan, simply because it's so uncommon. They assume that vegans have dreadlocks and wear hemp, and I actually do have some hemp clothing, but it's and there's nothing wrong with being the dreadlock vegan. I don't walk out of the house without 4-inch heels. I'm not your typical what people would think of as a vegan.
Is there an opportunity or strategy that you see to get your typical dog or cat owner to think more deeply about where their food comes from and that they might consider dropping animal products from their diets?
I think that simply talking to people in a loving and compassionate way about my reasons for becoming vegan and not seeing a difference between my dog that lives in my home and has a bed and we love and treat as a member of the family, and say a pig, which is just as loving and intelligent as a dog, and getting them to think critically, because it's a paradigm shift. People aren't used to thinking about other animals than your typical companion animals in a way to realize that they're individuals also. They can feel pain, they feel sadness, and drawing that comparison between the food animals and the companion animals.
Very good. Jennifer, I wanted to give you a moment as we wrap it up here to return to the Shelby Humane Society. What makes it special, and how can someone listening help the society and its Shelter Partners program?
Thank you so much for asking that. I'm so proud to be a part of Shelby Humane Society. It is special in the creativity and the dedication of its staff and its supporters and its volunteers. I've driven over 10,000 miles in the Shelter Partners program, but we have volunteers who have driven more than 25,000 miles and who give up at least one day a week to go down to the shelter and socialize the dogs and try to adopt out the animals. And our staff will pull 7-day weeks during the holidays and in seasons when they need to. And for anyone out there listening, obviously support your local animal shelter. And if you feel compelled to support Shelby Humane Society, we welcome all the help we can get. And you can visit shelbyhumane.org.
Jennifer Wallace, great work, and thanks for joining us on Animals Today.
Thank you for having me.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually in the U.S. On average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/archiver.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for all the attractive folk like yourselves. OK, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Chapstick asks, do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry?
Hi, this is Angie. And no, cherry always tastes better. I mean, have you ever heard of Green Apples Jubilee? There are certainly no maraschino green apples. And if George Washington cut down the green apple tree, they just say, hey, nice job, George. And then they go back to eating cherries and kissing each other.
Do new Chapstick green apple kisses taste better than cherry? Why not kiss with both and decide for yourself? Have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick. Chapstick asks, where do lost Chapsticks go?
Hi, I'm Rick, and I lose my cherry Chapstick a lot. The first 26 times I lost it, I found it laid in my back right pocket. And I'm a lefty, but this time, it's gone, man. And my Chapstick has always been there for me. Like that one crazy cold winter, Chapstick was my best friend. So if you see it, wait, is this it?
Do you know where your lost Chapstick is? Have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick. And try new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 for all-season protection. Ultra moisturizing for softer, healthier lips.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome back to Animals Today. There's a question Lori and I get asked all the time, and it comes from parents in the springtime. And it is something like, my child likes animals and wants to do something with animals this summer. And sometimes, as the family tries to figure out a useful and enjoyable activity for a teen, they encounter rules and shelters which make it difficult for minors to volunteer without parental supervision or at all, and they lose interest. Well, the book we are going to discuss solves that problem and answers many more questions about how animal lovers of all ages can get involved and help companion animals. The book is entitled Defending the Defenseless, A Guide to Protecting and Advocating for Pets. And I want to welcome author Allie Phillips. She is a former prosecuting attorney and former vice president of public policy and human-animal strategic initiatives for American Humane Association. And currently, she is director of the National, the National Center for Prosecution of Animal Abuse and deputy director of the National Center for Prosecution of Child Abuse and at the National District Attorneys Association. Welcome, Allie. I'm sorry I stumbled over that.
That's okay. It's quite a mouthful.
Well, we're really glad you have come on to talk about your book. Congratulations on a really well-executed guide.
Oh, thank you. It's a joy to be on your show, and I'll tell you, it was a joy to write this book.
Oh, then tell us about what motivated you to write it. How did it get going?
Well, throughout my career, I keep getting approached by people who say, oh, I love animals. I wish I knew what more I could do to help. And I literally hear this every day from people. And so I thought, why not put a book together that shows if you don't have a lot of time and if you don't have a lot of money, there are still ways that you can help literally every day to make the lives of animals better.
And describe how you decided to organize the book. If someone goes through this, what are they going to see?
Well, I focus primarily on companion animals or pets because that's really what I know. That's what my expertise and career and volunteer work have all involved. So it's certainly not going to get into, you know, how to, you know, rescue rodeo animals or how to save the whales or the polar bears. I don't have that expertise. So this is a book on companion animals. And so what I did was I broke it down by chapter according to various ways that you can help. So if you are interested and concerned about the feral cat population, there is a chapter specifically on feral cats and what we all can do to help out, you know, the feral cat issues. There is a chapter on disaster response, not only including your own pet in a disaster emergency plan, but maybe you want to get involved in doing the search, the rescue, the sheltering of animals when natural disasters hit. You know, there's a chapter on humane education, like you said in the introduction, about, you know, getting children involved, because if we can get children involved in working hands-on with animals, they grow up to be more compassionate, more empathetic, and that creates a more peaceful society because they will grow up learning to care for rather than harm other beings.
And we certainly agree with that notion around here, and I'm glad you included that chapter, and I would like to encourage any parents who've got teens who are interested in helping animals to read this book and give it and have your kids read it too, because there are so many ideas here that you may not have thought about, that even well-read people and educated people just never occurred to them, all the things that are possible if you really want to start helping animals.
Exactly. And, you know, of course the book, you know, spends quite a bit of time talking about our companion animals that are in shelters, because that is a big area where we can make a significant impact. So, you know, I talk about volunteering, providing foster care, donating, not necessarily money, but, you know, donating whatever expertise you may have. You know, if you're an engineer, you know, in your career, maybe you can help build some dog or cat-friendly caging systems that will, you know, benefit, you know, the life of that animal while they're in a shelter. And so I go through all these different ways that you can get involved, but I also talk about other ways to help animals even outside of the sheltering system. And I have to tell you, one of my most favorite chapters in the book, I actually saved it for last, and I wrote it last. It's called Healing and Communicating with Animals. Because I have spent a lot of time advocating for and working with abused and neglected animals. And the one thing that I have noticed is, you know, we can get these animals to safety. We can get them out of the bad situation that they're in. And maybe we get them into a brand new home where they're loved. But sometimes we forget about, you know, they have feelings. You know, they can feel pain. They can feel fright and terror. And sometimes we need to spend a little time with them to help them heal so that they don't go into a new home with behavioral problems. So, right. So I felt really compelled to put that in the book that, you know, we can go through all of these great steps, which are fantastic. Let's not forget the last step. Let's really get these animals back to being whole And I even interviewed a homeopathic veterinarian who is doing some amazing work to really help animals literally get back on all four feet so that they feel whole and safe and secure.
Now, on the other hand, another topic that you do touch on has to do with people getting burned out or overly stressed when dealing with these emotional life and death issues surrounding animals. How commonly do we see people getting burned out, and what can you do to avoid this?
Pretty much everyone who has ever done any significant work with homeless or abused and neglected animals will get burned out at some point, including myself. And so I go through in that chapter talking about, you know, how to identify between compassion fatigue and between burnout, because we see a lot of compassion fatigue in the business where you are just literally so overwhelmed by one more pet that needs our help, because there's always one more. It is never, never ending. And it can just really wear you down and make you feel like, well, what's the point? Why am I doing this? And so I go through ways to really, you know, get yourself grounded, get yourself back into a good position, because if we are not, you know, mentally and physically in good spirits, then we can't help anybody else. So it is vitally important to just stay healthy. And one thing I do talk about in the book is, you know, not only will you encounter opposition and roadblocks from people and organizations that we expect, but you will likely encounter it within your own ranks. And I talk about how to deal with that, how to protect yourself from what I call toxic people. And we all know people like that. They're just negative and you know, glass is always half empty. And that really can wear on you, especially when you're dealing with such emotionally charged life and death issues. You need to surround yourself with positive people who are hopeful and have a positive outlook on everything that you do. And really the message of that chapter is it's one pet at a time. If you can just focus on the little joys, you know, getting this dog or this cat or this ferret, you know, out to a rescue group or into an adoptable home, then you can literally check that off on your list and you go to the next animal. Because if you take on everything, you know, every single issue, you will very quickly burn out. So that chapter is all about baby steps and keeping yourself in a very happy and sane place.
Allie, in the last few moments, I want to ask you if you found anything that surprised you in your research. You bring a lot of experience to the table. What surprised you that you didn't know?
Oh, goodness. You know, I've been doing this for so long. I think I've dealt with everything along the way.
I bet.
Yeah, but I think what really surprised me along the way is really how many people are involved in helping animals.
Right.
I mean, I don't even begin to cover, you know, the sheer number of people and organizations who are doing fantastic work.
Okay, Allie, we're going to say thank you, Allie Phillips. The website is alliephillips.com. Defending the Defenseless, thanks for joining us on Animals Today. Now, stick around for some hot news items.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to.
and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EB's sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs.
Jay Farner here. Happy New Year from Quicken Loans. Do you want to get a jump start on your finances for 2012? We close a majority of our home loans in 30 days or less, so you can purchase a new home or save money by refinancing and wrap up those New Year's resolutions in record time. Here's the best part. Interest rates are still historically low. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.875%, APR 4.17%. And we're proud to announce that for the second year in a row, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the United States. That rate again is 3.875%, APR 4.17%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in. This is Animals Today. And hi, Peter.
Hello.
Hi. What? This has been a really positive show with a lot of people doing great work for our companion animals. So it's hard to ask you to only give us positive news items, but no, just...
we can start with one.
No. Start with whatever you want.
The Austin Animal Center, Austin, Texas, has achieved no-kill status.
Oh, that's great.
So that means that more than 90% of the animals it takes in are saved. This is the result of a two-year effort where they tried to really up their adoptions, offering free tags and microchips, running public awareness campaigns, free spay-neuter services, and transformed the shelter, along with the help of some other nonprofits.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So congratulations to Austin Animal Center. In Los Angeles, here's a question for you. What proportion of dogs, is it dogs or dogs and cats? Let's see. What proportion of dogs and cats in Los Angeles do you think are licensed?
Are licensed?
Yes, and all of them are supposed to be, right? So what do you think the real number is?
Oh, they're supposed to be. I know that. I think probably less than half are licensed.
Less than a third.
Less than a third. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are about 350,000 to a half million dogs in the city of Los Angeles, and I guess we're talking just about dogs here. And the Found Animals Foundation, along with Department of Animal Services, has launched a new pet licensing program designed to double the amount of animals licensed. And what this would do would generate up to $680,000, and that would, a large percentage of that goes back to pay for spay-neuter surgeries for low-income pet owners.
Okay, similar to the legislature we talked earlier in the show about,
right,
with Jennifer Wallace.
Right.
Yeah.
So that could, and that's 10,000 surgeries.
That's great.
That would equal out to. So good luck on that one.
I love these types of programs.
Yeah. Now to wild animals in South Africa. The rhinos had a bad year in 2011. Rhino poaching deaths continue to increase in South Africa. It's turned out to be a real international criminal syndicate problem with very sophisticated networks going after these rhinos. Last year, 448 of them were poached, including 19 critically endangered black rhinos.
So sad.
What drives us is the rhino horn.
Right.
They go to Asia, like Vietnam, where it's felt to be a prestige or luxury item. It's used as a post-party cleanser and as a cancer cure, alleged cancer cure.
Alleged.
Yeah. So that continues to be a real issue. In Hawaii, three cases of brutal killings of the Hawaiian monk seal have been identified. And there's a big reward being offered, up to $30,000 for information leading to arrest and conviction of suspects.
Oh.
These also are protected, and it's a federal, state crime to harm or kill one of these animals. Those found guilty face up to a $50,000 fine and up to 5 years in prison.
Mm.
They're beautiful animals and really part of the Hawaiian culture, as you know.
Yeah.
The island has been stunned, actually. People are all freaked out about this. And it's in the context, no one really knows who's out there yet, of simmering resentment among some fishermen who fear new fishing regulations are trampling their right to fish.
Mm.
So whether that's actual issue, we'll see if they find the perpetrators.
Hope so.
Group Compassion Over Killing, we know them. They are based in Santa Cruz, California. They have now sued Live Oak Poultry Hatchery, alleging animal abuse. And they have undercover video that they obtained in 2009 showing all sorts of horrible things done to baby chicks, mutilating them, dying birds trapped in machinery, all that kind of nasty stuff that, you know, happens in these that we know happens all over the place.
Happens all the time, right. And all over. So this one happens to be caught on tape.
And they gave their tape to the district attorney who declined to file charges.
Why?
I don't know why. But, you know, you really have to get a motivated and knowledgeable person to go after these cases.
I know.
So they are just suing them in civil court. So we'll see what happens to that.
Yeah.
You know, I should also mention that there's a growing backlash from the meatpacking firms and the hatcheries to make illegal the taping and documentation of their practices. So they're trying to create legislation which would give them even a greater protective barrier against the investigative videographers.
Yeah.
So that's brewing all over, and all states are fighting that right now.
Yeah.
And last happy bit of news, a new swine flu strain has been identified, H3N2V. It has been identified in at least 12 individuals since the middle of last year. And it's allegedly going to be